Psalms 37, while we stand to our feet this morning. Psalms 37, while we stand to our feet. I've preached many times, it seems, over this year out of Psalms 37. The whole Word of God is great, and it is good, and the whole Word of God is loaded, but this is a loaded chapter. It really is. I'm going to read the first seven verses, but I'm going to deal with just one verse that is in here. And the Bible says in Psalms chapter 37, let me say it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Good to see everybody with us today. If you're visiting with us, we're so glad to have you and so glad you've made it our way. And if you're regular home folk, we're glad to see you too. Amen. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Let's begin to read in Psalms chapter 37, verse 1. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, and neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Boy, if there is ever a time that we need this scripture, to not fret ourselves of evildoers, it is today. Amen. We see so much of that going on, not only in different cities around the country today, but we also see that in politics. We also see that in leadership. We see evilness and evildoers and that doing things that they ought not to do. Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." You can be seated this morning. Watch Brother Jeff Summer off. You'll bless the reading today, brother. Amen. Psalms chapter 37, as we look at this passage right here, the Lord in verses 3 through 7 especially instructs us in how to serve him. He talks about trusting the Lord and to do good. Verse 4, he talks about delighting in the Lord. In verse 5, he talks about committing and trusting in him. And in verse 7, he says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now, if you notice in these verses, there is a reward that comes with each of those things. He said, what was it here? "Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed." He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." He said, "Commit and trust him, and he shall bring it to pass." And in verse 7, he said, "Rest and wait for him, and not to fret." And then he goes on down through and says, "To cease from anger, and fret not thyself." And he says, because they're all going to be cut off. And so we find that as we serve the Lord, and we do as we should this morning for him, there is always a reward or a blessing that comes with serving him. And I think we need to understand that listen, when we serve him with a spiritual desire, with a spiritual heart, and follow him as we should, then the Lord is going to reward us. I don't believe that we serve for the reward, but I think we need to understand that there is a reward out there somewhere. Now, I believe that. I believe the Bible teaches us that in these verses here. But I want to deal with verse 5 this morning, and where it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Now, that word "commit" simply means to give in trust or to entrust or put into the hands of another. It also means in the fact of not only, I guess you would call it a verb, if you commit, it means to do or to perpetrate, such as to commit adultery or to commit a sin. You look up the word "commit" in the Bible a lot, and you'll find that sin is tied to the end of it, whether they were committing idolatry or whether they were committing adultery. But it also means when we commit something, when he talks about committing thy way unto the Lord, it means to put it in his trust. Now, I asked my wife yesterday while we were in the car, I said, "I want you to answer this just as fast as you can." I said, "I'm going to ask you about one word, and you tell me what you think of immediately." I said, "The word committed." I said, "That's what I want you to tell me." I said, "What does the word committed mean to you?" And as soon as I said it, she said, "Marriage."
And let me say this morning, that if you're going to be married, you're going to have a commitment. And I looked at her and I said, you know what I think of when I hear the word commitment? The insane asylum. Because they commit you to the insane asylum. I said, there you've got marriage and I'm in the insane asylum. I said, boy, we're a fine pair this morning. Amen. Listen, it's okay to laugh. It's all right. In a commitment, and being committed means to deliver in trust or given in charge to somebody else. Can I say that marriage is a commitment? It is a commitment to one another. It is also an act for the Christian to be committed to serve God in their marriage together. Amen. Listen, when God brought a man and woman together, He made them one flesh. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, the Bible said that He called them both Adam. Adam was the one that named Eve. But if you go back and look in the book of Genesis, He said He called them both Adam. Why? They were to be one flesh. And so we find that marriage is a commitment and that to love one another and be faithful to one another and help one another, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether in sickness and in health. Marriage is a commitment. And I tell you that if you're going to be on a diet, that a diet you have to be committed to. Did you know that? Hey, listen, you ain't going to get any reward out of a diet unless you're committed to that thing. Ain't that right? Amen. Listen, stay with me now. If you're going to get any reward at all, you're going to have to be committed to eating right and giving up some things that you might want to eat, but you don't eat. Nobody like, boy, get to talking about a diet, and everybody just got quiet. Listen, if you want to lose weight, then you're going to have to be committed to that thing. When I lost those some 45, 50 pounds, which has come back with a vengeance, I had to be committed to what I was doing when I done it. It was not always fun. It was not always easy. But there is a reward out there that you're looking for and that you're working toward. Can I tell you that raising your children, having children and raising children is a commitment. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but it is. It is a commitment. And that to raise them children right, spiritually right, but just morally correct. Listen, we've got children running around here today that have no manners, that have no, you ever said this right here, that kid ain't got no raisin. You know why we say that? Because they act like they ain't got no raisin. Amen? I'm sure my mama has said, now I know he's got raisin, but he sure has acted like he ain't got none. Amen? But it's a commitment. It's a commitment. You have them kids, you're committed in that to not only raise them right, but to take care of them and to provide for them and to see to them that everything is taken care of. Can I tell you that church is a commitment? I look at the crowd today and I would say that you are committed because you wanted to be here. You know, there's folk that could be here, but they chose not to be here. But you're committed in that to church. Church is a commitment. When you join this church, listen, you know, the sign tells you right down there what times we meet. 10 o'clock for Sunday school, 11 for church, Sunday nights at 6, and Wednesday nights at 7, and any other time we've got revival meeting or special meeting, you ought to be here, amen, and take your part and do your part at the church. People will say this, well now preacher, you know my son or my daughter, she's joined this softball team or baseball team or basketball team and we made a commitment now and that to go play them ball games and so we'll probably miss Wednesday night, we can't be here. Well, what about the commitment you made when you joined the church? What about that commitment? You see, what about the commitment to the Lord that you made when you prayed and said, Lord, is this the church we should join? And you know, I'm not beating up on you this morning because you're here and I'm glad that you're here. I'm just saying some people's commitments get messed up along the way a lot of times. And if they're not careful, they'll mess things up. But I want to look at three things this morning. I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast and we'll go find some lunch. But verse number 5, look at what he said. Are we doing okay this morning? Okay, are we awake? Are we doing all right? All right, just making sure here. Some of you ain't so sure about. But look in verse 5. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. First of all, in looking at commitment, we find that to commit unto the Lord, first of all, must be a submission of our own will to the will of God. Listen, if you're going to commit to Him, then you say, Lord, here I am. I want you to use me. You know, that's a big statement to make to God. That's a big statement. Listen, when you in earnest and honest kneel down before God somewhere in your prayer life and you look up to heaven or pray up to heaven and you say, God, I want you to use me any way that you want to and I'll go do it. That's a big statement. That's a great big statement. You remember what the preacher said here the other night? The boy that was from Mississippi, Brother Simmons, 25, 26 years old, headed to Idaho to be a church planter. And you know the one thing that I remember that he said that night? He said, I've only got one life for Christ, and I want to burn it up for Him. I thought, man, that's a big statement to make. I thought that's a great big statement. I to say I've got one life and I want Christ to have it and I want Him to use Him. Commitment is more than just saying, you can have it, Lord, but let me keep my hands on it and kind of guide it the way I want. Listen, when we get committed to something, we take our hands off of it and let Him have it. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 9 and look in verse 6, what did the Apostle Paul say over there when God had struck him blind on the road to Damascus? Somebody said the other day that that's the road we need to be on. Damascus. Y'all catch on to that here in a little bit. But he was on the road to Damascus and God struck him blind. What was the one thing that he looked up to heaven and said? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When's the last time in your life that you ever asked God, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, a submission to His will, first of all, starts in finding out what His will is for your life. It starts in finding out and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? And then go do it. I mean, listen, commitment is simply saying, Lord, I want to be faithful in whatever it is that you want me to do. We commit, listen, we commit our soul and our spirit to Him in salvation. What was it the Apostle Paul said over there in 2 Timothy chapter 12 or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12? He said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. We put our soul and spirit and everything that we got in Him the day that we got saved and expect Him to keep it. We've committed it unto Him. Listen to me now. If we put our soul in His care, why can't we put the rest of our life in His care? Why can't we put our way in His care? Why can't we just say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, preacher, if I do that, He might want me to be a missionary. He might want me to be a preacher. He might want me to marry a preacher. You didn't know what you was getting into, did you? See, my wife knew she's marrying a preacher. She ain't got nobody to blame but herself. Amen. When we got married, I was already preaching. Bethany, he just made preacher after they got married. I just come along with it, didn't it, sis? Listen, you know what? Sometimes the will of God may not be exactly what we think it is sometimes. Sometimes it may not lead us in the direction that we want to go or that we think that it's going to go. But nonetheless, if we're committed to Him, then we just follow it and go. We commit our life to Him. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, as he talked about, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What's the two things Paul said right there as he talked about? He said he was a servant. Did you know that the servant has committed his will and that to the master? Do you realize that the servant and that gives his will to another? A servant is that he is at the beck and call of another. He's at the will of another. He's at the beck and call of another. He is where somebody can use him for their own gain. The servant is not for himself, but for somebody else. When we're committed to the Lord, we're not for ourselves, but for the will of God. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. So to commit, we have to be submitted, don't we? We have to get rid of our will and say, Lord, here I am. Kind of like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 over there. Here am I, send me. I'm telling you, that still scares me today. Because I get comfortable in pastoring this church. And as one preacher said, he said, listen, he's been pastoring where he's at since the early 90s. And me and him ate dinner one day together and I was talking to him. And it came up in the conversation. I said, do you ever think about leaving your church? He said, I used to, but I don't much anymore. But he said, I want you to understand something. If God wants me to pick my family up, move them halfway around the world, I will. Amen. That's a big statement to make. But there's a commitment. Taking our life and, you know, we put our eternal destiny in His hands, but yet we struggle to put our temporary destiny in His hands. Why is that? You ever think about that? Why is it we put eternal destiny in His hand and know that He's going to get us to heaven, but yet our temporary life that is down here, we want to run it and we want to drive it. I'm just the same way as you are. I want to do what I want to do and go when I want to go. And listen, the Lord, He is very free on those things. Let me put it to you like this. When God saved you, He set you at liberty, did He not? He made you free, the Bible tells us over there. But the Apostle Paul talks about being the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he was physically the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had Paul locked up after he got saved. I believe he's probably spent as much time in prison as he did out of it. He was in some kind of capture. He was in some kind of prison, whether they had let him be at liberty for a while, but were watching him. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul was more than just physically the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was spiritually the prisoner. And what I mean by that is Paul put a set of shackles on him and tied himself to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying today? Whatever the Lord wanted out of him, I believe that's what the Apostle Paul was going to do. Our will and our desires, everything about us ought to be committed and submitted unto him. Our family ought to be submitted unto him. Our job ought to be under submission and that to him. Our bank account and our pocketbook ought to be under submission and that to him. Everything in our life ought to be under submission and committed to him. Our time ought to be committed to him. I've took on just a little wiring job and I'm not as young as I used to be. And I still love warm weather. Don't get me wrong. I like it being hot. I really do. But when you're about 20 feet up in the air in a man lift and you're trying to run conduit and pull some wire and it's almost 95 degrees outside and you're in a building that has no air stirring and you're 20 feet up in it, you know, it's hot up there. And so I go and I do that and I come home and I still try to pastor like I should and I get radio broadcast ready and study like I should, but I have learned that I do get tired a little easier than I used to. And I get more and more. I told my wife the other day, I said, we just bought a new recliner at the house. And I sat down in that thing the other day and that thing is nice, probably some of the nicest furniture we've ever had. Or it felt nice the other day anyway. And I sat down in that thing, and you ever just sat down and your bones just fall down into whatever you're in? Whether you lay down in the bed, you ever laid in the bed and your bones just sink to the bottom of the bed? And it feels so good, don't it? I mean, it just feels so good. That's the way that chair felt. But you know what I found myself thinking? Ain't enough time in a day to get everything done for the Lord if I'm laying here resting. Our stuff's got to be done. Who's going to do it if we don't do it? Now, I'm just being honest. I still rested, don't get me wrong, but I knew in my mind that the more that I laid down and rested, the later my night was going to be. You can ask my wife. There's many nights that I don't come out of the study until after midnight. There's many nights that I don't come out till 11 or 11:30, and then I'll pile up on the couch and sleep half the night on the couch and go to bed. When if I was smart, I'd just get up and go to bed. Amen. I'm just saying that when we're going to commit to Him, there's some things that we just got to put out of the way. There's some things that we're going to do tired sometimes. There's some things that we're going to do when, listen, let me put it to you like this, when we don't even know what's going to happen. It's one thing to commit our life to the Lord, but what about our daily commitment? What are you talking about? You remember over in the book of John, there was a little lad that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What did he do with them? We brought them to the Lord and committed them to the Lord and said, here they are, Lord. You take this basket of stuff and you use it, and you use it to whatever you want to do. You remember what his disciples said? But what are they among so many? You know, I don't know how Philip, was it Philip, that got over there to that young man that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know how it came about. I don't know that story. I don't know if his mama packed it in his bag that morning. And that's the way I preach that a lot of times. But nonetheless, he brings them to the Lord. And that little lad, he wasn't concerned about what are they among so many. It was Philip that was worried about that. You know what we do sometimes? We look at something so little sometimes, and we say, how can God use that and make something great out of it? Maybe I ought to just keep it from myself. Maybe I ought to just hold on to it and keep it. We never know what God can take that you might have, that you might want to commit to Him and give to Him, and He'll use it for His glory. I'm getting ahead of myself. But He'll use it, and He'll use it in such a great way. Listen, that He'll do more with, so much more with it than me or you ever could. You know what that little boy was going to do with him 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He's probably going to have a good meal and sit down and have a good meal. Maybe his family was going to have a meal on them 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But you know what the Lord done? He took 5 loaves, 2 fishes, blessed it, and fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children, and took up 12 basketfuls. All because the little lad committed 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It may be little. You say, my life ain't that much, preacher. I don't think God wants me to go halfway around the world. I don't think God wants to make a preacher or a preacher's wife or a missionary or even a Sunday school teacher. By the way, if you were here, you'd find out there's a lot of work to be done in the body of Christ. Some people's got to come and pick up plants and look for notes under them. If you were here, you'd understand that right there. You got it done, though, didn't you, Brother Jeremy? Got it done. Am I making sense to y'all this morning? It may seem so little, the things that you might want to commit or need to commit to the Lord. Now, I'm just talking about your daily commitment now, not your life. Your whole life needs to be committed to the Lord. Now, I'm talking about stuff and things or ways. And can I tell you that it's not always easy to commit? I don't want you to think that this preacher just has such an easy time to say, Lord, here it is, you take it and use it. I told you sometimes back on that electrical job that I'm working, I don't take many of them on, but I told the Lord that if I took that job that I would give Him so much and that into missions out of that job. And after I made that commitment, I got to thinking to myself, why did I make that commitment? I could have kept the money. He said, I'm just serious now. After I made that commitment to the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to have this. And then that job rocked home for a little while before it started, and I knew it was coming. But then I begin to think about, now why did I do that? You know why I done it? Because I wanted Him to take it and use it. Because He could do more with that money than I ever could have done. He can take it and distribute it and get it in the right places more than I ever could have. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Sometimes it's a little tough for me to turn loose of some things. It's a little tough to turn loose of us to commit, because when you commit to something, then that means you've entrusted to it. That means you've put it in somebody else's hands and say, Lord, I want you to handle this. I want you to do it. Maybe there's a problem in your life this morning. Let me say this. I didn't even think about this till just right now. Thank you, Lord. Listen, you may have trouble and problems in your life. You need to commit them to the Lord. He said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You commit them to the Lord and let Him have them. And He'll handle them for you. But look at what the rest of that verse said. What that verse said, He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Then it said, trust also in Him. It talks about trusting Him. You know, when we commit to Him, then we have got to trust Him. What do you mean? Trust also in Him. He knows the way that is best. He knows the direction that is best.
we committed unto His hand. It would be like this. If you gave me, and folk have done this, you brought money to me and said, I want you to put it in the treasury, but use it where it needs to be used the most. Whether it's on missions or whether it's on radio broadcast or whether it's just in the general fund. Preacher, you make the decision where it needs to be used at. And you know what I do? I make the decision. If y'all can't trust me to do that, y'all can't trust me. But you see, that when that person give that to me and said, you, then what have they done? They've committed that money to me and said, you make sure it gets in the plate, but then you use it where it needs to be used at the most. So you know what I do? I mean, sometimes me and Miss Evelyn will talk about it. Sometimes I already know where it needs to be used the most at. And that's where we put it, ain't it, sis? Where it needs to be used the most. But you know what that person is doing? They're trusting me with what they've handed to me. You understand what I'm saying? They're trusting me to make the right decision. You know, when you commit to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my life, here's my pocketbook, here's my home, here's my children, here's everything about my life, then we're trusting Him to make the right decision. It's awful hard to trust sometimes, ain't it? When, you know, it's easy to trust when the sun's shining. It's easy to trust when it's headed in the direction you want to go. But sometimes it's hard to trust when it's dark and when you're not headed in the right, or let me say this, the right direction you think. He said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Proverbs chapter 3 said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. So when we trust in Him, I lean not to our own understanding. And boy, I'm telling you, there's times that I struggle with that. I do not lean to my understanding, but to lean on His understanding and to lean on His knowledge. And then He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and everything that you're doing, give Him praise, give Him glory. I give Him everything about you. And He said, He shall direct thy path. Did you know when you commit your way to Him and trust in Him, the Lord showed me this morning as I was finishing up this message. He said, as for God, in 2 Samuel, His way is perfect. He said, the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that what? Trust in Him. So when we get committed to the Lord and we trust Him, you know what that word buckler is? That's that shield. That's that 4-foot shield that you know that you could get down behind and it's going to protect all of you. Didn't say that there, you know that a buckler is needed because there is a battle. You don't need a shield unless you're in battle. Think about that for just a second. You know, Ephesians 6 talks about taking the shield of faith to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So when we get committed and we begin to trust Him and put our faith in Him and to go the direction that He wants us to go, then He's going to keep us and He's going to protect us. We may still battle. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, fear of man brings the snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Nahum said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. Can I tell you that He'll keep us no matter what? Job, in the midst of his trials and in the midst of his life, and Job was a man that was committed to God, a man that trusted God, a man that wanted to serve God. Job makes this statement in Job chapter 13. He said, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Job said, God's going to get me killed in this thing, but I'm going to trust Him. How many of us would make that statement? David had to trust. Moses had to trust. The preacher preached the other night on 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 12 where King Jehoshaphat looked up to heaven and said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. We just got to trust Him, don't we? Trust. Because we've committed unto Him. We see the path, but the path may not always be easy. You remember what the Lord told Ananias over there when he went over there to pray for Saul of Tarsus? You remember what he said? Take your Bible and look with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, I want you to see what he said to him about the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, as Ananias, boy, you're talking about a feller that was struggling here. Ananias struggled. Well, let me back up. I want you to see this. Verse 10 of Acts 9. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. That's good when the Lord calls your name. Say, Here I am. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias, the Bible called him a disciple. That means he was a follower of Christ. And you know what he said when the Lord said, I want you to go and do this? He said, Lord, I've heard many things about this man, Saul of Tarsus. And he said, you know, he has persecuted the church. And he says, he's even got authority of the chief priests and that to bind all that call on thy name. Now notice what he said right here in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That's good. The Lord said, I've got a plan for the Apostle Paul. He said, he's going to go bear my name. He is a chosen vessel. He's going to be mine. He's going to go to the Gentiles and the kings and to the children of Israel. But then notice what he said in verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. Can I tell you that when you commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, we're going to be safe, but that does not mean we won't suffer. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would you rather suffer in the will of God or out of the will of God? Because you need to understand something. Suffering's coming. Suffering's always going to be there. Man is born, a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said it, was it in Job 5, where he said as the sparks fly upward, so does trouble, you know. So he told him he's going to suffer from his. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul talks about over there at one point, everything that he had suffered through and went through. And you know why he done that? Because he committed his life unto the Lord. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias went and done what he's supposed to do, didn't he? Commitment means we trust. It may be hard to trust sometimes, but we still trust. Number three, look at the last part of this verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now notice the Bible said right here, he shall bring it to pass. He's the one that does it. We commit, we follow, we be faithful, and we trust. And the Lord does the work. Did you catch that? We're faithful to do what he wants. And then he does the work. And by the way, we're faithful to do what he wants, and he's the one that gets the glory for it. Amen. I want him to have glory out of my life. How about you? Do you know that if you're not committed to him, God ain't going to get no glory out of your life? If you're not trusting in him, God ain't going to get no glory out of your life. But when we commit to him and trust him, he gets glory out of us. Whatever God has set out for you to do, I'm not a Calvinist, But I do think God's got plans for your life. And He's got plans for my life. I think we see all that through the Bible. And by the way, for Him to get you to where you need to be, it may take a while to get there. You just got to be committed. What do you mean? Go back and look at David's life. David goes down there. Now, before David fights Goliath, the very first time that we ever find David, what's going on in his life? Samuel has showed up at Jesse's house. Remember? Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. David is a shepherd. That's all David is. He's probably about 16, 17 years old. He's a shepherd. He's out there watching his father's sheep. Samuel comes to anoint the new king, and that over Israel. They still have a king. Saul's still king. Got to remember that. David is anointed king while Saul is still king. What happens? David, as a teenager, gets anointed king over Israel. He ends up fighting Goliath. He ends up in Saul's army. He ends up being a mighty man of valor. He ends up fighting for King Saul. He comes back one day, and the women are singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David, his tens thousands. And so there is a spirit of jealousy sets up in King Saul. And he's hated, David is, by King Saul. And so for about 10 years, David is on the run. Somewhere in here, David is on the run and he spends times in caves and he spends time in the wilderness and Saul is after him and trying to chase him down and trying to kill him. But do you remember all the way back over here when he was about 16 or 17 years old what Samuel came and done? He anointed him king over Israel. David's had to fight. David's had to fight. And David's had to run and fight. And hide and fight. He just didn't get anointed king one day and was set up king the next day. But there finally came a day when God put him where He wanted him to be. Why was that? David never quit being David. David never quit. He never quit being committed to God. Now, you read the book of Psalms, a lot of those Psalms was wrote in times when David was on the run. And he wondered where God was and he wondered what was going to happen. But you'll always find that David always stayed faithful. He stayed committed to the Lord. It may took a while, but God finally got him where He wanted him to be. He said what? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know the problem we have today? We have a fast food mentality. We don't know how to wait. We don't know how to wait. We have got so used to having stuff now. I mean, even Amazon's got us ruined. You can order it today, and chances are if you don't get it tomorrow, you'll get it the next day. You ever remember ordering out of the Sears catalog? I remember that. I still remember my wife ordering stuff out of the Sears catalog. You know what they would say? It takes 4 to 6 weeks to get it there. Now it takes them 2 days. And they'll put it on your front porch for you. Used to, you had to go down to the Sears store and get it when they called and told you that it was in 4 to 6 weeks later. Our Christianity is turned into that way. We ain't learned how to wait. I mean, you go on and look at what he said right here. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I'm just saying when you get committed, committed may mean we have to wait on some things. Committed means we're just going to be faithful to do what we're supposed to do until God shows up and gets us where He wants us for the next step. You understand that this morning? Even your preacher struggles with that. Sometimes He's got us in a place, and I'm going to close right here. Sometimes He's got us in a place to where He's trying to teach us and get us somewhere that when we get there, it will be ready to be used. Can I tell you this? I'm not sure how well David would have been made king at 16 and 17 years old. May have made a great king. I don't know. But there is a reason that God didn't make him king tomorrow. There's a reason God had him go through all of that to make him king. And sometimes when you get committed and you trust in the Lord, sometimes there's some reasons God wants us to go through hard times and struggle. It don't sound good. But there's reasons God wants us to do that. Sometimes it's simply so that we'll just look up and trust Him. How committed are you this morning? Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. How committed are you to the Lord? Have you committed your life to Him, your home? Have you done that? As we get some music there, Jacob. Are you trusting in Him? Say, Lord, preacher, I've given my life to the Lord, but boy, I sure am struggling now that I've done that. Have you ever committed something to Him and said, boy, I tell you, I know it was the right thing to do, but boy, I'm struggling right now. Trust in Him. He'll see it through. He'll help you with it. He'll bring it to pass. It may take a little while, but He'll bring it to pass. Have you committed your home, your life to Him? Your faithfulness to Him? We're faithful in everything else. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never committed your soul and that to the one that can keep you and watch over you. He wants to save you this morning.